You know what? We all have our 15 minutes of fame, and I'd like to take a couple of my 15 minutes to talk about the rights and the wrongs in the world of professional wrestling.
WWE Championship.
This match is for the ECW World Heavyweight Championship.
My guest for the program today is someone you've probably seen in the ring, but before now, how you've seen him may have been a different story. He's known as Betsy Ruth, seen on a national scale as Rosie Lana Love, and most recently she's returned to wreak havoc as Andrea. And Andrea's one tough cookie. If you haven't had the opportunity to see her in action, have no fear, because seemingly week by week, new video is added showcasing her destructive power in the ring. She is the Amazon amongst us. This is the awesome Andrea. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing fine.
And Thank you for having me.
Well, I was going to thank you. Thank you for coming on. I know you've had somewhat of a hiatus away from the business for some time. So this is an honor for me to have you in.
Absolutely. Yeah, 2 years was a little bit of a hiatus, but I'm back. I'm leaner and meaner and quicker.
That you are. You're leaner, meaner, quicker, all of that good stuff. First, let's address the hiatus. I know you put some videos on your personal YouTube channel at some point in time that somewhat addressed that, but for those that haven't heard it from your mouth directly, would you explain the reason behind your two-year sabbatical?
I went to Japan as Rosie Lotilove. They actually brought me over, and they named me Andrea Mother over there, which is where I get my name from now, Andrea.
Okay.
And that's an homage to the late Andre the Giant. I am the female version. I was the female version of Andre the Giant over there. So they brought me over there, and I did 7 tours over there. And on my last tour, I took a nasty little spill 19 feet through a table.
Ooh.
And the table broke incorrectly. I guess it broke the way it wanted to, but it happened to shoot up into my ovary. And I happened to rupture my ovary. I flew back 30 hours to the States, and I collapsed on my bathroom floor, and my husband found me, and I was rushed to the hospital. And I was told by my lady doctor that if I took another fall at the weight that I was at, that I could hemorrhage, not just a bump, but an actual fall. So she recommended that I get my ovary removed because my ovary was ruptured, and I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. And she said, here's your options. And I was diagnosed with what's called polycystic ovary syndrome. It's a big, long explanation, but basically it's the reason why I couldn't ever lose weight when I was heavier. It's a metabolic condition that has to do with all the hormones. I had hormone imbalances and whatnot. And I did some research. I have a medical background as well. And I did some research, and the American Diabetic Council had shown that vertical sleeve gastrectomy, which is a bariatric surgery, had improved symptoms of polycystic ovary syndrome and had allowed patients to lose weight. So I discussed it with my lady doctor and with the bariatric surgeon, and we decided to go ahead and do that. And I had vertical sleeve gastrectomy in June 2013, and since then I've lost about 130 pounds. Went into the gym like a mad woman, but for a good 6 weeks after the surgery, I thought I was going to die. I went from being a very active 300-pound wrestler to a bedridden invalid, basically. I was not getting hardly any calories in, and I told my husband, I was like, I think I'm going to die. And he was like, you look like you're going to die. But it was the hardest thing I've ever done, and I went through the Dudley School, so that's saying something.
Ah,
Well, you know, in that statement alone, you've answered another question. So I was going to ask, where did you train? I thought it was Team 3D Academy, but you just confirmed that. But that is
yes,
rough.
It is.
Your personal that 2 years of I guess getting yourself back in shape, getting yourself out of bed, active again. That was rough. Did it ever cross your mind that okay, look, I just may need to leave this pro wrestling thing alone entirely?
Yeah, I said, you know what, I'm hanging up my boots, I'm done. I'm never going to wrestle again. And I'm sure my mom probably would have been happier with that, but, you know, you get the bug, it's that, we call it the abusive relationship that you can't get away from wrestling.
Oh.
But, I went to a show about 6 months ago, and I saw my old friends, and I watched them, you know, do their thing in the ring, and I was like, man, I'm healthier now. I feel great. I feel better than what I felt like when I was 300 pounds. Of course I do. I feel better. And I said, you know what? I think I'm going to try it again. And I messaged Devon, and I said, what would you say if I said I wanted to wrestle again? And he said, are you serious? And I was like, yes. And he goes, I'd say I love it. And I told Val, one of my good friends, SoCal Val, I said, please talk me out of this. And she said, I can't. She said, you're way too talented. And she's like, you've got exactly what you need to have now. And I talked to my husband, and he's always been super supportive of me. You know, he's always been there. He's always ringside whenever he can. And he said, go ahead and do it. He said, I'm not going to stop you from following your dream. He's like, it was your dream for so long, and you had to give it up. It wasn't your choice. So end it on your terms this time. And I was like, you know what, I think I will. So I'm back.
Fantastic. And if I was not told that you were Rosie Lotta Love ahead of that, I would have never known. I don't think I would have ever put that together.
It's funny because even the people that I knew the best, like the people I trained with, didn't recognize me. Bubba didn't recognize me when I saw him. I was at the show. It was the Hope for a Single Mom benefit that Devon does with a couple of students from the Team 3D Academy. And I showed up at the show, and Devon had seen me because he's a friend of mine on Facebook. But Bubba hadn't. And I went up to him, and I said, hi. And he's like, hey. And they kind of walked away. And I was like, wow. Like that, huh? And I was like, hi. And he goes, holy crap. Well, he said another word, but, he looked at me and
goes, thank you for the substitution.
Well, you're welcome. I try. And, he goes, holy crap. And he looked at me and he goes, wow. And he's like, I wouldn't even have recognized you if you didn't say hi again. And I was like, you know, it's weird. You're not the only person who's done that. Yeah. Like even my family sometimes, like my grandmother even goes, you know, it's you. I know it's you. She goes, but every time I turn around and look at you, I see the old you, and then it's you. And I'm like, who's that person that's in your body? So, yeah.
But you lost the equivalent of a small human being. And that's commendable.
Most divas. Yeah.
Well,
I lost
the
diva.
You lost the diva. But, you know, it's funny because despite the fact that, you know, first I want to say, I'm sure your fan base is proud of you for losing that and reinventing yourself, but not to sell the Rosie Lotta Love character short. I mean, she did have a fan base of her own. I think that's safe to say.
She sure did.
Well,
I actually have some people who say I liked you better when you were bigger, and I was like, well, I thank you for that, but my joints like me better this way.
I can imagine.
Yeah. I will say the first time I took a bump in the ring, I missed that extra padding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that your creation? Was Rosie Lotta Love yours, or was that something that a character that was assigned to you?
That was the brainchild of Bubba. There is an AC/DC song called Whole Lotta Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great little tune, and that's her. That Rosie Lotta Love is that Whole Lotta Rosie from that song. I took that song, and usually when they played it, the song on stage, they have this giant, like 60-foot blow-up doll up here, and she's got like lingerie on and whatnot, and she's the blonde version of me. But I was the brunette version of Whole Lotta Rosie, and that's who I emulated. It was kind of a mixture of Bertha Faye and Whole Lotta Rosie from AC/DC. But yeah, that was his idea.
Fascinating. That's also quite the jump from your first persona in the business. Would you care to share that?
Yes, that was Bessie Ruth. She was the great granddaughter of Babe Ruth. And where we got that from was, I had been active in sports and whatnot and played softball. And, I was like, yeah, I could do a softball character because we were trying, we were shooting around and Bubba and I again. And, there's a movie called The Warriors, and the Baseball Furies was one of the gangs in The Warriors, and they painted their face the way that I used to paint my face. So I took that from there and they wore the pinstripes, and I was like, well, I'll be Bessie Ruth, the great-granddaughter of Babe Ruth. And I came up with a whole, like, character development and, you know, where she was from. She's from Cooperstown, New York, which is where the Baseball Hall of Fame is. And, you know, I created this whole little character, came out the Louisville Slugger, and she was just a bad son of a gun.
I see that. And, you know, none of one persona to the next really related at all to the next person. Like Bess Ruth almost has nothing to do with Rosie Lotta Love, and Andrea has nothing to do with either one of them.
I know. Yeah. I like to challenge myself. I like to think that I'm pretty versatile, and you know, hopefully other people see that, and maybe bigger companies see that, and see that, you know, you can put anything on me and I can pull it off, hopefully, you know.
Well, I think so, because most people take a smoother transition in what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of evolve into the character, but it's like you just stopped one day and then boom, here's Rosie Lotta Love, and stopped one day and then there's Andrea. It's just like,
they're all new characters. I have a theater background. I went to UCF, University of Central Florida, for a degree in theater before I started wrestling. And I've done different musicals and stuff, and I sing and dance and act, and so I like to think that, you know, these are my characters, and I've portrayed different characters on stage. Why not portray different characters in the ring?
Well, that explains a lot. That being said, yeah, what I normally ask ladies such as yourself is, of all the things you could be doing, because clearly you trained in acting and you seem pretty good at it, why wrestling?
Why wrestling? Well, I happen to be 6'1", and at the time, I was a heavier girl. There's not a whole lot of characters that are 6'1" and heavier like that, that are younger. And so I wasn't getting a whole lot of work, and I was like, well, I have to reinvent myself, because that's what I do when I don't have work. I either go to school or I reinvent myself, and it drives my family crazy. I tend to do it every 6 months. But I was working at Universal Studios in the entertainment department for Halloween Horror Night, and one of my buddies there was like, you know, you should come and watch TNA. They're taping here. And I said, oh, okay. And I had watched wrestling growing up with my stepdad. You know, my mom would go to work, and we would sit there and watch ECW and stuff like that. And sometimes we'd go down to the Sun Dome and watch the NWA shows that were there. And so I'd watched it a little bit growing up, and I went and saw TNA, and I was like, man, those are some of the guys that I used to watch in ECW. So it was like, you know, Bubba, and
yeah,
and I think Raven was there, and Devon was there, and, you know, a whole bunch of them were there. And I said, yeah, those are some of the guys. And then I watched the entire show, and I was like, you know, I could totally do that. And they didn't have a women's division at the time, but I was like, I could do that.
Oh, you were there.
And the guys were like, yeah, sure you can. Why don't you come on down to the school that we have down here? And this wasn't Team 3D Academy. It was another school, a little hole in the wall. And they said, come down to the school and let's see if you can actually do it. And I came down, and I never stopped. Yvonne was actually one of the guest trainers there once, and he had me bumping about 83 times, and I was covered in bruises, and I got back up, and he said, are you done? And I was like, nope, I can do more. And he's like, ever since then, he's like, I knew you had it. And so he stole me from that school, and they opened up their school, and myself and Leva, we were the original females, and two of the only females that actually have ever made it through the entire training at Team 3D Academy. There's one new girl who's proven herself. She's made it so far to the advanced class from the beginner class. But, yeah, there's been a lot of girls in and out of there, but only three of us so far have made it through the entire training.
Well, only three of you have proven to have what it takes.
Yeah,
I guess
make it through that school.
I guess the other ones look at what they see on TV and the the WWE version and kind of fall in love with the celebrity of it. Would you say that that's a possible personality trait of some of the trainees that have come in?
Yeah, I mean, they see the glitz and glamour and all the, you know, the showmanship and the celebrities and how they, you know, they're out there in front of the lights and the crowd adores them, but they don't understand the hard work and dedication and training and blood, sweat, and literally tears that gets put into training to be that. And they're not willing to do that. And you have to have a lot of heart and a lot of willpower to stick with it. Because there's times where you question yourself and you're like, why am I doing this to myself? You know, why am I putting myself through this? And you have to be able to come back and say, it's because I have a dream. I'm going to accomplish this and I'm going to stick with it. And not a lot of people have the gumption to do that.
I see. Now, Rosie Lotta Love made it to national television. You went as a guest to TNA Impact, but you also managed to get into the Knockouts division once they actually had a division. And you were there at a pretty prime time when there was a lot of variety amongst the girls at that point. How was your experience with that company?
I was there at the end of that prime time. They had started to whittle away the variety and get more toward they had a vision at one point to be different from WWE. And then as wrestling goes, sometimes they change their mind and then they wanted the girls to all look like divas. And they had gotten rid of, you know, Taylor Wilde, they had gotten rid of Roxy, and then they got rid of me. And you know, we were the girls who were, you know, not your typical average divas, you know. I mean, Taylor Wilde was, but she could wrestle her butt off, you know. That girl could go in the ring like nobody's business. That's not saying anything bad against the other girls. They fit that mold better. But my time there, I will have to say that one of the best things was the camaraderie in that locker room. Those girls were always, you know, everybody had their little spats with each other every once in a while, but when it came down to it, we were all there for each other. Friendships were built. I still have Val as one of my best friends. She and I travel. We're road buddies together. And I will say that the camaraderie between all of the girls in that locker room, with the exception of maybe one or two, was phenomenal. I didn't expect it to be that way. I expected it to be way more catty than it was. But a lot of those girls really stuck together, helped each other out. If you needed some spray tan on your back, they'd help you with it, you know? it is what it is.
A little cattiness every once in a while. You know, I mean, if you can only say one or two, then you're doing good. If that's all you can count out of an entire division, then I think you're doing fine. And, you know, speaking of your friendship with SoCal, I happened to come across a video recently. It was SoCal talking to a camera and this huge powerhouse lady standing there menacingly in the background.
Yeah,
it looks like
a... I got a call a couple of weeks ago from Val. She's been having some trouble with Shimmer with some of the ladies who like to set her aside and pick her out of the crowd. And she needed some backup, and so she gave me a call because she knows what's up. She knows I'm back and I'm ready, and I'm a mean streak a mile wide, and I don't put up with no crap. So she gave me a call, she gave me a call, and I said I'll be there. So we shot a little video, and tomorrow night, actually, which is Friday, the 23rd of January, I believe it is. It's Shine 24, and I will be there backing up Val. And if anybody so much as looks at her the wrong way, they're going to get my size 11. So,
have you gone into the hit-for-hire business in Shine?
I go where the money is. I'm about commas and dollar signs. So
okay.
It goes with everything when it comes to wrestling.
That sounds like a nice yes. So Andrea is... It's a hit for hire. At least, you know, with Val, you know, that's somebody that you know and like. So
that's maybe, my girl. I got her back.
Maybe you gave her a little bit of a discount. I don't know. Hopefully.
We'll keep that between us. That's
business. Okay. All right. That's fine. That's now, this new version of yourself is fairly new to the masses, I think it's safe to say. Of course, your YouTube channel has been showing some of your work, and I will reiterate to those people that are listening, if you have not seen Andrea do what she does in between the ropes, you can check her out on her YouTube channel. You can probably scan for Andrea versus La Rosa Negra and bring up, I think, about 5 matches or so.
Yeah, I think there's 5.
Which are pretty good matches. I thought the La Rosa Negra match was very good. But again, for those that aren't aware or don't know who Andrea is in relation to, you know, who you were, could you describe it? You've already described Betsy Roof. You already kind of described Rosie Lalo. So who is Andrea, this version?
Andrea is a 6'1", 190-pound powerhouse. She's an Amazon. She puts up with no crap. She's created her own warpath. She is like an Amazon, and a lot of people have compared me to Wonder Woman, but I like to think I'm better. You know, Wonder Woman's a fictional character. I'm here, I'm real, I'm in real life, and I'm 100% coming at you full speed. I don't hold my punches. I got a boot that's size 11, and I will put it through your skull. So, like I said, I'm here. One reason I came back is because the women's division, women's wrestling in general, has come full circle. You know, the fruition is there right now, to where it should have been when I was in wrestling before. And with that, you get a lot of girls who think they know how to wrestle, who don't go to training, who don't put the time and the effort, the blood, sweat, and the tears that most of us girls who've been in it for a long time have put into it. And they're going out there and they're hurting people. They're making a fool of themselves. You know, they think it's more of a dress up and hang out with hot, sweaty guys than, you know, actually wrestling. And if you want to do that, I mean, you can put a skirt on and go to one of the shows. I'm sure the guys would love to have you there. But when you step in that ring, you better be ready for war, because each and every time that bell rings, it's a battle for me. And I'm coming at you 100%.
Yes, and I will say again, you said you put your foot through somebody's face. I saw that at least 3 or 4 times with this spectacular single leg drop kick that you seem to have mastered. But I just want to say this. You seem to have a great heel quality in yourself when you're in the ring. And it's funny that you mentioned they patterned you after Andre the Giant, because Andre in his heel days, certainly at a 7-foot, I forget how it was, 7'4", 7'3", at that height and weight, he certainly had no reason to cheat whatsoever. But he did it because he was a bad guy. He was, you know, he was a heel, and he did the things that heels would do. Even the great Andre the Giant cheated. And I saw in a couple of your matches, despite the fact that you clearly will out-muscle most of the opponents that you're with, you find a way to kind of do the cowering thing and cheating a little bit. And, you know, I guess.
Listen, I like to think of it as I will do anything and stop at no bounds to win.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's what that is.
Okay.
We don't call it cheating. We call it winning with any means necessary.
Ah, winning however necessary. We won't use.
Yes, winning by any means necessary. Not cheating.
Okay.
It's only cheating if you get caught.
Well, that's true. You, to the best of my knowledge, from the video scene, you haven't gotten caught. So, but you did pull off the wins. How's it like working with ladies smaller than you? Is it difficult for you to do that? Are you craving to find somebody that is your same stature to try to work against at least once?
Well, I wouldn't turn it down. I'm 6'1", so working girls smaller than me isn't something new. Back in my heyday, when I was Rosie Lottola and Betsy Ruth, I was working Leva all the time, and she's all of like 5'1", so that's nothing new. But definitely, if I can get a matchup with someone my size, I know I wrestled Amazing Kong or Awesome Kong a few times in the Dominican Republic, and that was some hard-hitting stuff. I had a blast doing that. We just went out there and beat the tar out of each other. But, you know, if I could get in the ring with somebody my size, I don't know, like a Jessica Havoc or something like that, I'd be more than willing to do that.
Okay. Now, you know,
I think a 3-way between Havoc, Kong, and myself would be an amazing match.
it probably would be ridiculously hard hitting and an overall slugfest to the likes that most
yep.
people have not seen. TNA has recently hit the revamp button and brought a couple of people back. Would you or do you have any desire to, you know, perhaps come back in that roster? Because 2/3 of the people you just mentioned are there now. So,
I will put it this way. Money talks. Mm-hmm. I am a businesswoman. Like I said before, commas and dollar signs talk, and if the price came around that was right, I wouldn't say no.
Very good. Random question. When are you going to play Wonder Woman?
You are not the only person who has asked me that. There are a few Comic-Cons here in Florida that they've been in touch with me, and they've asked me if I want to do it. I've had a couple buddies of mine who do, I guess you call it, like, where they dress up as characters and portray them at events and stuff, contact
cosplay.
Me about doing that.
Cosplay.
There you go. Sorry. I'm not with it.
It's
all
right.
I'm getting there.
I've had some of those conventions too. It's all good. I got you.
Okay. So yeah, they've asked me to cosplay Wonder Woman. If I get the outfit, I would be more than willing to do it. But so maybe soon. We'll see. I've had a lot of people say that I need to do it. So. We'll see.
That's right.
It could be happening sooner than later.
Just make sure that you post the pictures. I'm sure everyone will appreciate it.
I will. They're constantly putting my picture up next to hers and saying, like, just saying, or you should totally do this. And I was like, guys, I'm not Wonder Woman. It just so happens that I'm really tall and an Amazon and kind of like Wonder Woman. And they're like, well, your gear looks like it. And I was like, well, I didn't take that from her, but okay, I'll take it. I guess it could be worse.
It could be much worse. You have to take into account that there's a lot of people that were not happy with the actress that they picked to be Wonder Woman, being that she's a supermodel and, you know, not really physically.
Yeah, she's fairly thin. And the Wonder Woman that I remember from the books that I had growing up, she was pretty jacked, but whatever.
So there you go. You know, that's Hollywood casting, though. But, you have to go with that. I was about to ask you if I had a magical booking sheet, who would you pick to get in the ring with? But I think you answered that question in your little three-way dance scenario. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back to a random question. Xbox One or PlayStation 4?
PlayStation 4.
Yeah, PlayStation.
Only because I love God of War.
Oh, my God.
But I'm not a huge gamer, but I got sucked into that game, and I lost 4 days of my life.
Well, then you're not a huge gamer, but you lost 4 days playing God of War.
Yeah,
holy
because
smoke.
That's why I'm not a gamer, because if I start playing games, I get suckered in and I have to do the whole, like, walkthrough and make sure I get every single token and what. I like, see, this is me not being a gamer. I get obsessive about it and I have to complete every mission precisely the way that it needs to be completed and... Yeah, I need an intervention when I sit down. So that's why I can't do it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, at least you're aware of it. You know, part of recognizing the problem is, or part of addressing the problem is recognizing that it's there. So you're good. Should any champions out there in wrestling land be worried that you have arrived on the scene?
Everyone should be worried. Everyone I step into the ring with.
Oh.
I mean, you could just lay down or you could just get a count out. That would be easier. I mean, I don't want to have to work harder than I do, but, I mean, everybody I step in the ring with should be worried because I don't hold back. I'm not here to play patty cake. It's wrestling and it's not ballet.
Okay. So that's just a warning across the board to no specific champion that happens to be carrying a gold belt right now, but anyone from opening match to main event should be basically looking out for you.
Yes. I have a war pass, and if you get in the way of that war pass, I will stomp through you.
Okay. Well, you know what we have to do here before we close it up? We have to make sure people can find you. You have to find your social media on both Facebook and your YouTube because it seems to be collecting some video. I will, of course, link to the matches myself for those that have a hard time, but if you would share that, because I know it's not under your ring name, but if you would share that to for people to see your work, please do.
If you want to follow me on Twitter, it is at Rosie, R-O-S-I-E, underscore, Lotta Love, L-O-T-T-A-L-O-V-E. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's MKD117, M as in Mary, K as in Kite, D as in Delta, 117. And if you want to find my YouTube channel, I do have that, I will have that linked on my Twitter, as soon as we get off this interview, I'll put it up there. However, if you want to look me up, it is my full name, Mary Kate Daganen Glidewell, and it would probably just be easier for you to look up my Twitter and find it there instead of me spelling it out.
Well, it's all right, because I'm going to make it easy. Again, you know, when this video is up, the links will be available right there in the video. All you have to do is click the little square, and it'll shoot you right over to the match. I think I'm going to connect you to her contest against La Rosa Negra. That seemed to be a good example, a good way for you to get familiar with the new power in ladies wrestling.
Yes, and if you are serious about becoming a professional wrestler, I definitely would say the only place to go is Team 3D Academy. If you want to get in touch with them, it is 407-390-9005. I say it in every single one of my interviews that I do because I believe 100% that they made me what I am today. And without them, I would not be where I am. So,
well, in that
definitely
case,
the hardest and most rewarding thing I've ever done.
Well, in that case, give it again. Make sure that they got it. But Team 3D Academy, what's the number?
407-390-9005.
All right, they should give you a little kickback for that commercial.
I get enough from them.
you did get a lot. You have your wrestling career thanks to them. Athena lives. Well, I shouldn't say Athena. Andrea lives because of Team 3D Academy.
So, man, she does.
There we have it. You know, I really want to thank you for taking time out of your night to come on and speak with us and share these quick fire questions in this interview, and you did it pretty fast and right under the gun.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much for having me on, and I look forward to speaking to you again, hopefully when things start firing away here. It's just the beginning.
I am looking forward to it. Again, after I saw that video, I know it's coming around and shine this Friday, the 23rd, Shine 24. If you want to see her, you might be able to catch her right there on iPay-Per-View. So that's a quick plug for them, too. So there you go.
Absolutely.
Team 3D Academy and Shine 24. Those are your two plugs, and you are rocking and ready to see Andrea hurt somebody. Thank you for coming on to the show tonight.
Thank you.
I do appreciate it. And thank you for everybody out there that's listening to this podcast and this interview. If you want to check me out on other stuff, just click the appropriate links below, and the link for her match will be there as well. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Bye-bye.
Hey, you guys. This is the NWA World Women's Champion, Barbie Hayden, and you're listening to The Rights and Wrongs of Pro Wrestling with Mr. Green.